Parsec, a whole new show exploring sci-fi and science fiction in all its manifestations.
What does the future sound like?
Coming on Sunday for Siren 107.3 FM.
What does the future sound like?
The future will be silent.
What does the future
with your pilots Dave Milling and Alex Levchuk. And a positive galaxy of co-presentational stars.
The future will be silent.
Well, it may be, or then again it might be a pulsar, maybe it's a quasar. Dave Milling is unwell. Get well soon, Dave. But who has stepped into the Dave Milling breach? Well, the one, the only astronomer royal, almost, but certainly extraordinaire. Author, of course, of Night Scenes 2015. It's Paul Money. Paul, how are you?
Welcome. Hiya, Alex.
Welcome to Parsec.
Thank you very much.
I knew you were a science fiction fan because we've talked about a whole range of things.
Oh, yeah.
And Parsec obviously focuses on that because it inspires so much, doesn't it?
Oh, well, it inspired me. And in fact, for the first time in my latest book, I actually put an... I've always been reluctant to put an about me, you know, the typical about the author. But when you look at all the other books, they've all got it. So I decided to do that. And near enough, the first line says I was inspired by watching Lost in Space, Star Trek and Thunderbirds, you know, not to mention Captain Scarlet and all the rest sort of thing, you know. So, yeah, there it was. I have my roots in looking up into space. Mainly in that, but I have to say in a few books I saw at school as well, pop-up books with rockets in, that got my attention.
Of course, the reason you're co-piloting Parsec today is not because you are the Dan Dare of the airwaves, but of course you are, or is it Digby? I don't know, one of those two things.
Well, what, Ginger Ale? Is there any superheroes with Ginger Ale or anything like that? I'm not sure.
I'm sure we can find somebody, Paul. If not, we'll write one for you.
Oh, good.
But it is because you'll be presenting and signing copies of your latest book at Linden Books, so that's very exciting, and that'll be, let me see now, Parsec for October will be probably going out there. So let's give them the date so people who are time travelling will know when exactly this will actually be. I think it's
the 18th, I think. Is it Saturday, the 18th?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there we are. Saturday, the 18th of October, you'll be up with Jill Hart and Sasha and company, those fine folk at Linden Books, with, of course, Night Scenes 2015.
That's right, yes. It's the latest one of the whole saga.
I'm privileged to actually hold the latest copy in my hands here, and of course you can do all sorts of fantastic things with this, but it's a monthly guide to astronomical events for the year. Let's go on to hard science, Paul, for the moment, before we get into the inspiration side of things. The Harvest Moon. It's been quite big recently, hasn't it?
Yes, it's the thing about the moon at this time of year is that when it rises, it does tend to linger for a long time. And this is the key. It gives a lot of light for the harvest to continue. This is why it got the name the Harvest Moon. So, you know, so it enables the farmer to carry on harvesting once the sun set, because the moon, as it rises when it's full, you know, it stays up above the horizon long enough for him to carry on. I wouldn't say, well, all the way through the night, the poor bloke would be shattered. Or female nowadays, when there are female farmers there, I've met several, but no, it gives a lot of light and allows them to continue the harvest. And of course, you know, with our seasons, any dry spell, you need as much time as possible to get it all in.
Dave Milling would be furious if I omitted to actually mention, of course, the recent rewriting of history to come, future history, that, of course, the Doctor Who series put together, in which it was suggested that the moon is just an egg. Did you see that little episode?
I saw that episode.
Right, so... You know where I'm going to now, Paul?
Well, the science. I mean, I love Doctor Who. Don't get me wrong. Again, John Pertwee was my Doctor Who. I like Tom Baker, but John Pertwee was mine. And I do think Peter Capaldi has elements of, like, the early Doctors in him. And I have warmed to him. But I thought the science in that episode was atrocious. And normally Doctor Who actually is very good in the science. Several times they repeated that the moon was 100 million years old, when us astronomers will tell you from the geological samples the Apollo astronauts brought back and various other probes brought back, the moon is around about 4 billion years old. You know, that is an established fact. So to say the moon, and say it several times, the moon is 100 million years old, I was sat cringing and sort of, I thought, the problem is the public, if they don't know much about science and astronomy, will take that as, oh, well, that's it. And the next quiz, they come up and say, oh, it's 100 million years old. Where do you hear that? Doctor Who. Well, it must be canon, but... I'm sorry, that was, and the gravity, how do you gain that sort of mass? I could go on, I mean, you know, but I don't, because we'll be here all day.
Well, no, it is interesting, because I know that the late, great Isaac Asimov always used to say that for him, the best science fiction was that which had a respect for science. It actually, even when scientific laws like faster-than-light travel, for instance, in Star Trek, were broken, they were broken in credible ways.
Yeah, they were, and they presented it in a way that, look, you know, if science advances in the rate we're going, we may be able to do this. And in fact, now, scientists are looking at potential faster than light travel. At the moment, it'll be only photons of light that do it. If they can do it, it'd be amazing. But there are certain things that, you know, the screenwriters, the writer of that script, really should have got right, and something like that, you know, would have been quite, I suppose it wouldn't have fit with the story if they said, oh yeah, well the egg's been there for 4 billion years. That's a very long time for an egg. I mean, most eggs I've got will go off in a few weeks.
Perhaps it's the vacuum of space, vacuum packed.
And
of course, there are various suggestions that have been put forward over the years in terms of how the moon was formulated, including a bit of the Earth that kind of got shot off, basically. I mean, is there a sort of set sort of theory that you would go to yourself?
The current theory that is widely established now is that in the early formation of the solar system, there were many great lumps whizzing around the solar system, planet-sized, and one of them, about Mars-sized, struck the early Earth. And basically, we've got slightly more in the way of a denser core than we should have. So the theory is that the core from the other object merged with ours, threw off the outer layers, which are, you know, sort of rich in sort of the lighter elements, which explains the why the moon has got a lighter density and has a preponderance of lighter elements on the surface. And that material thrown into orbit around the Earth and eventually coalesced to form the moon. So that's the current theory.
So the bit that got shot off is a kind of...
The bit that got shot off is a mixture of the remains of the crust of the other planet and a mixture of ours as well. So, and that seems to fit the evidence that we've got so far. But like everything else, if they find other evidence that points in a different direction, you know, good science will always follow the evidence. Bad science is when the evidence is ignored just to keep a popular theory alive.
Paul, we're delighted that you're actually in the studio, in the Parsec cockpit, if you like, or whatever, kind of capsule, let's say, as we work through this. But there is a test coming up, obviously, sort of miniature test. I don't think you'll have any problems whatsoever in being able to successfully identify this little number, particularly as also one of the fine folk is related to one of the corn. No, I'm giving too much away. Play the tune. Barry Gray Orchestra, of course, when he wasn't tinkling the ivories in Jersey. And, of course, it was the theme to...
Space 1999.
although,
I nearly had you there.
Although, it has to be said, the general accepted wisdom within Anderson aficionados and appreciators is, that... the second series of UFO actually became Space 1999 because Moonbase, which of course was featured heavily with those silver suits and all the rest of the pieces in the series UFO, that was the kind of essence. And it was, I think it was just the vicissitudes of Lou Grade, amongst other things, that effectively led to a completely new series as opposed to UFO series 2.
Well, didn't the Americans actually find that the Moonbase episodes got the most sort of ratings? And so therefore,
why would we worry about
what
the Americans think?
Let's have the moon instead. Sort of
and
thing.
Let's bring in Martin Lando and Barbara Bain.
And I loved them too. I thought they were brilliant. I think some people actually, again, thought Barbara Bain was a little bit cold, but she was a professional doctor, and they were thrust into an incredible situation. So I actually liked their characters, and I thought Martin Lando was a brilliant choice.
And, of course, the connection being the moon goes out of orbit and we're left with all sorts of challenges and so on, goes through lots of warps and so on. I thought there were two distinctive series. I mean, also there were two series of Space 1999, as we've said, one which Gerry Anderson effectively produced fully, the second one Fred Freiberger kind of took over. but still fun, I think, in many ways.
Yes, yes. I think I suspended my disbelief and annoyance at some of the cast changes within a few episodes. But if I remember right, it was very, very mixed in reception over here in the UK. And also, it wasn't broadcast in continuity. Mm. There were great gaps between episodes going out, which made it very difficult, I think, to follow, which is a shame. But just a shame we can't get the second series remastered yet. I wait for that day.
It'll happen. It has been released once, and I did have a copy, but it was sort of sifted through all sorts of other areas, which caused problems and challenges. But never mind. This year, very exciting, because obviously not only did we have the very first official Andacon convention, I think it's going to be the second one now, we'll find out from Jamie Anderson in this programme all the plans that are afoot for that, because obviously, as we were speaking earlier, Paul, Jamie's already hard at work with a new series.
Oh, yes, Firestorm, yes, and that was an original Jerry Anderson idea as well. Mm. The Japanese produced a cartoon version of it, but this is going back to the roots, isn't it? And Jamie's, you know, spearheading that.
Absolutely, and we're in great stuff for that. We had the 72nd World Science Fiction Convention. I've gone about that for quite some time, but it was such a fantastic event. We actually hooked up with fine folk who will be joining us in future editions of Parsec from the British Interplanetary Society, which I thought was a fascinating area in terms of what they're putting, obviously, for space travel and rocketry and so on. It was like, you know, Dan Dare comes to life, really.
I saw the stand BIS had at the affair, and I thought that was brilliant. It was brilliant. That's where we should be doing these sort of things, getting mixed between the two.
And yeah, we will, Paul, as we continue from these cold hands. Anyway, there's next year, of course, looking ahead. Not only do we have on May the 6th a science fiction-themed symposium entitled Telefantasy and Society, which will hopefully kickstart Lincoln Inspired, another show, another scenario, but that'll be there. Hopefully you'll be, because you're one of the patrons, of course, of Lincoln Inspired.
Yes, I'm the science patron for Lincoln Inspired. I'm proud to be associated with it for the last 2 years since it started, really. So it's been absolutely brilliant.
Absolutely. And before that, of course, we also, on the 15th of March, Sunday, have MCon, or East Midlands Con, at the Capital FM Arena, where, just run through some of the sort of folk that will be attending there, we have Colin Baker. He seems to go everywhere these days. Bless him. Gil Gerard, of course, Buck Rogers, Peter Davison will be with us, Julian Glover, Eve Miles from Torchwood, Hannah Spirit, Gemma Redgrave, Ian McNeese, of course, and the Red Dwarf cast will be assembling for a range of things there. We'll probably be following that through. That's EMCon with our colleagues at the sfx.co.uk scenario, etc. How can people get hold of a copy of Night Scenes 2015, Paul Money?
Well, first of all, if you're in Lincoln, of course, come along to Lyndon Books a week on Saturday, and it's between 12 and 2, so I'll be...
We'll give the date once again, Paul.
I'm sure it's the 18th, so I have to check my diary, because I'll just get it on an automatic thread.
This is a pre-record. You know, I'll say that again. This is a pre-record.
That's good. yeah, come along to Lyndon Books, and so you can get copies there. You can get them from my own website, which is the Astrospace website, and it is also available, as a rule, from all good bookshops as well nationwide, so it is widely available.
Paul, there are so many magical things there. Just very briefly, and I hate to do this, but it's again a case of how do we squeeze the seconds into the microseconds and tack irons, etc. Any particular highlights we should be looking out for, as obviously we are well into the season of mists and mellow fruitfulness at present?
We are. If you're talking about now, then we've still got a bit of the summer triangle left, which is the Milky Way passing down through the sort of that southern sky, but next year we've got a major well, we don't see the total solar eclipse on March the 20th, but we get something like 86% eclipse sun here. So that'll be quite dramatic to look out for.
Precisely. Although, as we would echo the words of the late, great Sir Patrick Moore, of course, never look at the sun with a naked eye.
Indeed.
Never. It's fantastic. We talked about Space 1999. It's only right, Paul, that we conclude your first contribution as a co-pilot in the Parsec pod with the fabulous Barry Gray. And look, is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's unidentified.
This is an emergency.
stay tuned to this channel. Absolutely classic, nail-biting stuff for folk who remember the joys of the 80s in full force. And the exciting thing is, they're back. Oh, we'll be back very shortly, courtesy of Big Finish. And, of course, the legend that is Jamie Anderson. Jamie, how are you? Welcome to the programme.
Lovely introduction.
Very critical, you know, it's always important, particularly as say on a day where I think like myself, you've been down with a few other sort of bugs, etc. And despite Mr. Evans saying that you're going to actually be on the one show, well, sadly, you have to rearrange that.
I've had to bail, yeah. Unfortunately, I've had an impacted kidney stone, in fact, which has kept me rather unwell for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, me, yes. Yeah. Well,
thank you for sympathy, Alex.
No, yeah, very much so. I'm thinking we need to get Hiram Hackenbacker on the case to actually sort of vaporise it in some way, but anyway.
Right, luckily I'm seeing one on Tuesday next
good.
Week, so all will be well.
Which is, thank the Lord for that, positive stuff, you know, the world needs Jamie Anderson, not only because you're keeping your father's legacy going, but even more. Let's talk about Firestorm. Firestorm is go. We were talking earlier on Parsec with Paul Money, and he was very excited by this latest Kickstarter campaign. Our pilot episode to be funded is launched. Share with us. Firestorm is go. Clearly, it brings in Japan. It brings in Anderson. What's it all about?
So originally in 2001, about June, July 2001, Dad wrote a treatment for a new series called Jerry Anderson's Storm Force. It was a sort of slightly more utopian future than perhaps modern sci-fi goes for, but it was again kind of a secret-ish organization dealing with imminent threat. In this case, it was an alien threat in the original write-up. That original series idea got bought by a Japanese company in 2002, and they made it as an anime series, which was released in 2003. And being anime, it didn't really find an audience outside of Southeast Asia, really. So it's kind of bumped around, rather hidden in Anderson history. And then last year we thought, hang on, well, this is an original Anderson thing, which we actually have some control over, and it isn't an ITV-owned property. So let's have a look at doing what we can do with it. And he'd originally envisioned it being a big sort of epic series for family entertainment, and I thought, well, you know, what are the things that kind of make Jerry Anderson shows so enduring? And so we've redeveloped it from those original documents, and it's due to be made in what we're calling ultra marionation.
Like it, yeah. Not super marionation, ultra marionation.
Exactly.
Very good.
It's the next step in evolution in the marionation pathway, but it's all physical. It's all physical sets and props. Real model miniatures, practical effects, so we are actually going to blow stuff up, and there's going to be, you know, flames licking all over the place and debris being blasted towards the camera, and puppets.
Sounds like an average day in the life of a University of Lincoln academic, actually, but, you know,
okay.
I won't go down that line, because obviously we'll still hopefully be one of our keynote speakers, obviously, for May the 6th next year, when, of course, we have first symposium on telefantasy that we're hosting at the University of Lincoln. So, you know, as we say, we've spoken about that, and that's one other reason you need to be keep fit, Jamie, because we've got Andacon, and of course, Terrahawks, which is in production at present, and you were at a recording session earlier this week for the audio version of Terrahawks.
Yeah, so we've got all eight episodes are in the can. One of the episodes is an adapted version of original script that Dad wrote if Terrahawks ever went to another series in 84. Sadly, it didn't. So that's 101 Seed, which is a fascinating, a bit slightly bizarre story. Seven new scripts, lots of them lampooning kind of modern culture and everyday life in the same way that at the time Terrahawks and Dick Spanner was doing. We've really kind of played up the humour a bit, because I think it really found its feet towards the end of the original set run of episodes. The, sort of the last 12, 13 episodes of Terrahawks in the 80s were the ones that really kind of, where it hit its stride. So that's the kind of tone we've tried to strike. We had a wonderful time. I 4 days over a couple of weeks with the artists. They are such professionals. And they did such an amazing job. We had a couple of guests in. My mother, Mary, who was production supervisor on Terrahawks, and Terry Adlam, who originally worked on in the effects department on Terrahawks and has now gone on to write one of our scripts called No Laughing Matter, which obviously is the highest comedy script in the series.
Mm-hmm.
They came along and they just said it was like going back in time 32 years when they were originally doing these recording sessions. All the actors picked it up so well. Sadly, Annie Riddler passed away a few years ago, and she's been replaced by the wonderful Beth Chalmers, who anyone who listens to Big Finish productions will know.
She's doing very well. And also, we have to ask, who's taken on board the role of Windsor Davis, of course, who also is up in that great heaven and the sky base thing?
Well, do you know what, Alex? I'm terribly sorry to say he's... Well, I'm happy to say he's not. I thought Windsor passed away. You know, I felt terrible about that. He actually is retired.
Good heavens.
You're absolutely not the only person to think that. Just because he's disappeared and he was such a character, you'd think he'd still be pestering us and calling you lovely boy.
But,
no, I always knew that Jeremy Hitchin did the most fantastic Windsor impression.
Yes.
Jeremy always tells a story about how, you know, Jeremy was a sort of spotty 21-year-old kid, effectively, in Windsor at lunchtime would say, "You and me, kid, is going to the bar," and they'd go off for a pint. So just from that little snippet, I could tell Jeremy could do the impression.
Uh-huh.
So Jeremy Hitchin, who was Nine Stein, has taken over the voice of Zero and done an absolutely stunking job of it.
You know, I had a similar sort of time a few years ago where I was doing a feature with Gene Bruce Scott, who was in the series Airwolf. I thought that Ernest Borgnine was also... Anyway, Ernest has actually sort of moved on now, so it's a whole new world. Never mind! great news is we'll be joined by Discover Middlesbrough's Rob Nichols, who's actually joining us on Parsec, who's going to sit down now. Now, Rob was very, very impressed when he actually received an autographed copy of the Shane Rimmer autobiography. And when I actually said, Jamie, that we were going to actually feature your good self on the programme today, he was almost beside himself. Were you not, Rob, with excitement and joy and happiness and such like?
I was indeed.
Exactly. And
delivered as flatly as possible, thank you.
Still am.
Exactly. And we've talked about, obviously, the return of Terror Hawks. Rob, the return of Terror Hawks.
Really?
Yeah, in audio form, all coming back. And I'll just say that one more time, actually, Jamie. Windsor Davis is not dead. He's still alive, which is fine, but he's not in the series. So great news for that. Firestorm is go, Kickstarter campaign for this fantabulous project from that point of view. Rob, as somebody who's kind of as chronologically gifted as myself, perhaps, what are your thoughts on Jamie's dad's legacy of you know, wonderment that he's left us with the world and the planet?
Oh, absolutely phenomenal for somebody who grew up in the 60s and grew up with all those programs and had the posters on the walls and maybe I still have, I don't know. But that's phenomenal though to know that so many kids were sort of they take those series through their lives, don't they, and those characters.
It's certainly sort of writ large in terms of that. Will there be another Andacon in 2015?
There will be. Just we haven't announced yet. We were going to announce prior to the Kickstarter, but because I just have blooming kidney stones.
International rescue, they're writ large on that sort of basis. Yeah. Moving on from that side of things, okay, so Firestorm, that's happening. Firestorm is going from that. Terror Hawks series is going to audio, so that's great news from that point of view. There's also a fantastic box set of Super Marionation set, the precursor to Ultra Marionation.
Yep.
That's also available. Would you like to just share with us how people can possibly get hold of that by going to andacon.com?
I think if they go to jerryanderson.co.uk and follow the shop link, and then I think the front page there, we're down to the last few days actually before the price goes up. So it's an amazing, amazing set with the Film in Super Marionation documentary, This is Super Marionation, which is a sort of presentation of a selection of original episodes with original ad caps and original adverts featuring the puppets. So you get transported back to the 60s, a load of HD episodes, a brand new issue of TV 21, collectible postcards, and Stephen LeRivière's fantastic book, Film the Super Marionation, which is sort of the definitive work on that period of 1957 to 1969. It's a huge amount of wonderful stuff in there. I think it's on for about £80 at the moment before it goes up to £100 in 3 days' time.
Our first guest, of course, on Parsec, Paul Money, was very keen to actually say that he got into astronomy as a direct result of Fireball XL5 and Space 1999 and all sorts of other areas. He's now actually editor of the BBC's Astronomical Magazine. You might think, how does that bring in Reverend Marie Edwards, the full-time chaplain of the Trust for the James Cook University Hospital? Indeed, another sort of Parsec routine. Well, of course, the Secret Service, Marie, you might not have actually ever encountered the Secret Service, but
no.
It did tell the tale of Operation Bishop, British Intelligence Secret Headquarters, Operation Priest, if I recall, Jamie. Is that right?
I think that's right.
I could be a Secret Service agent. Yeah, I watched James Bond.
Well,
yeah.
You see, so there we are. But I mean, apart from the Secret Service, which I think was unkindly canned by Lou Grade at the time, because he couldn't understand what Stanley Unruh was saying, apparently.
Yeah, even though that was the point of Stanley doing his Unruh knees and popping policemen and stuff, Lou said, no, the Americans will never get it.
No. So it only lasted 6 shows. But it was, but it's still available, and, you know, I looked to pass on the DVD set to you, Maria. But Lady Penelope, obviously, lots of strong female characters. Did you have any Thunderbirds or any favourites from Gerry Anderson's stable when you were growing up?
No, we didn't sort of watch anything like that in our household, I'm afraid.
Outrageous.
I was a Scooby-Doo fan. And Tom and Jerry.
Kind of forgive that, I suppose. Let her back on again, Alex.
We'll move over to Rob, who, as well as being the editor of the Middlesbrough football fanzine Fly Me to the Moon, also, so I know you have the Shane Rimmer autograph pinned up in your office, very fully from that point of view. Rob, questions for Jamie about looking after the legacy, about life and all the rest of it, because I just think it's amazing, and I'm genuinely privileged, Jamie, as I said before, that you're a regular correspondent and delighted to work through all the range of things, because you're doing an excellent job.
What was it like growing up in a house with
Tara Hawks, the maker of Tara Hawks?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was weird how it becomes kind of normal, Rob. That's the weirdest thing. You go out with it, and I just accepted it as, you know, very plain and not that exciting, and it was only when they re-showed Thunderbirds in the early 90s. My friend's parents were coming up to me going, oh, is there any chance we could meet your dad? Oh, you know, he's a massive hero of ours. I suddenly realised that actually what he'd done was far more important than I thought. I just thought, gosh, it's a bit weird that he's got these puppets. How strange.
And now, it's moved into ultramarination. Quick reminder, of course, when can people actually start funding Firestorm, or can they already go with that?
Firestorm has surpassed its base goal already. We've got another 23 days to go, but we hit the goal within 4 days of starting, which for a Kickstarter campaign is amazing. And we're just now heading on to our second stretch goal, which is 65,000, and that will allow us to build an island base for the baddies in Firestorm, and then blow it to smithereens.
Yeah. See, that's what Itar Karanka should consider when he's managing Middlesbrough Football Club, etc. Just get those bases and blow them to smithereens. It's a thought. In fact, there was a TV21 episode that actually dealt with, I think, the 2068 World Cup, and actually had Captain Scarlet as centre forward. 1968. Really? Yeah. I just bowled that out there as a possibility. he was assassinated by a sniper in the crew, effectively. Jamie, it's been a privilege and a delight as ever to actually feature not only on Parsec but also on a whole range of other factors. We've got 2 final questions for you. I'll use them in any case. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
It's been most interesting. Thank you very much.
Well, hopefully we've zapped that kidney stone into abolition. It's not going to work. It's go away. Horrible, you know, sort of to be sorted. So can we look forward to again connecting with you again in the very near future, and obviously keeping us appraised of how Firestorm is proceeding? Of course, we haven't mentioned, of course, the novel that's actually out there that's around. So let's mention that novel now.
Oh, well, Gemini Force One, Dad's final sort of thing that he was working on. It's a sort of a reimagined kind of Thunderbird-type story for sort of a slightly more contemporary future, so we're looking sort of 10, 15 years into the future. The collector's edition is out and is sold out, but the mass market edition is out in April next year, so we'll send you a review copy, Alex. Oh. Also, hopefully in the next few months we'll have some teaser snips from Terra Hawks too, from the new Terra Hawks, so I'm sure we can send you some of that too.
It's just a round of applause, please, for Jamie Anderson, you know, the keeper of the flame, extraordinaire, doing wonderful stuff there. A choice, actually. We came with the theme to Terra Hawks. It's your choice, Jamie. We can go out with either Captain Scarlet, Joe 90, or Fireball XL5. Marie's looking
Fireball,
very confused now.
We're going
Fireball XL5. I suppose technically we should actually say, all right, Venus, all right, Scott, all right. Do you remember Fireball XL5, Rob?
I don't remember actually watching it live. I think I was a bit young, but yeah, obviously I've seen it since.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a whole Rob.
Well, do you remember it?
Robbie the Robot. It's one of my first. That and the funeral of Winston Churchill, some of my early televisual memories. A strange connection.
Really?
But there we are. Yeah. Fireball XL5, funeral of Winston Churchill. There we are. Jamie Anderson, we salute you. Take care now.
Okay, Venus?
Okay, Steve.
Right. Let's go. Space Patrol, this is Fireball XL5 returning to base. Mission complete. Over and out.
I wish I was a spaceman, the fastest guy alive. I'd fly you around the universe in Fireball XL5. Way out in space together, conquerors of the sky. My heart would be a fireball, every time I gazed into your starry eyes. We'd take the path to Jupiter, and maybe very soon, we'd cruise along the Milky Way, and land upon the moon. To a wonderland of stardust, we'll zoom our way to Mars. My heart would be a fireball, a fireball. 'Cause you would be my Venus of the stars.
Excellent stuff there. Many thanks, of course, to Jamie Anderson and Rob Nichols, and, of course, Reverend Marie Edwards for dropping into Parsec. Of course, you can access Parsec on our regular podcast sequence, of course. Just go to southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com and access Parsec. You'll probably be able to get that through sirenonline.co.uk as well. It all works together. Dave Milling, as mentioned earlier, is feeling a little bit poorly, which is why he can't be around for the October Parsec. Hopefully he'll be back with us for November. Got to admit, two basic school bios present, and I'm going to be happy to admit them. Obviously, I committed the ultimate faux pas of thinking Windsor Davis had passed on. Of course, he's still with us, which is great stuff, although he won't be in the new series of Terrorhawks. And thanks for Jamie for the gracious way in which he picked me up on that, and also for the gracious way in which, quite rightly, there were 13 episodes of The Secret Service featuring, of course, Stanley Unwin in the lead role as Father Stanley Unwin, Gary Files as Matthew Harding, Jeremy Wilkin as the Bishop, Keith Alexander as Agent Blake, Sylvia Anderson as Mrs. Appleby, and David Healy, of course, also appearing in the series. That's 13 episodes of The Secret Service. An extraordinary show, well worth actually accessing and digging out from the archive. Okay, looking ahead, we're going to give a couple of mentions now to some events you may be interested in attending in November. We have Collector Mania 22, and we really must on Parsec do a Collector Mania item. That's Saturday the 15th and Sunday the 16th of November 2014 at the Stadium MK and Arena in Milton Keynes. Stars who will be appearing at Collector Mania 22 include Gemma Redgrave, obviously wearing her Daughter of Brigadier Alistair Lethbridge Stewart hat. Chris Barry from Red Dwarf will be there. Amanda Tapping, of course, from Sanctuary and the Stargate series will also be attending. Sarah Sutton from Doctor Who, of course, Nyssa and Trakan. And Annika Wills, who should hopefully be joining us on Parsec in the not too distant future, of course, the original companion Polly in the series of Doctor Who. And therefore, for the first ever regeneration from William Hartnell into Patrick Troughton. So Annika Wills will be attending, as indeed will Rusty Goff from Doctor Who and Star Wars. And astonishingly, we have Joe Calzaghe, the boxer and footballer Frank Worthington, also scheduled to put in an appearance at Collectomania. You can go online to collectomania.com/Milton Keynes for details on that. Also for folk over in Wales, at Cardiff, the Cardiff Film and Comic Con will also be taking place that Saturday the 8th and Sunday the 9th of November 2014 at the Motorpoint Arena in Cardiff. Stars attending, all being well, subject to commitments as ever, include Craig Charles from Red Dwarf, Sylvester McCoy, of course, the 7th Doctor, Jason Momoa from Stargate Atlantis, Kate Dickey from Prometheus, and Shirley Henderson from Harry Potter, plus, of course, from the Doctor Who stable, Noel Clarke, Mickey, of course, from the new series of Doctor Who, and Louise James, and, of course, the legendary Leela from the Tom Baker era of Doctor Who, should also be there. A few little plugs for some of the literary aspects that come through as far as Partick is concerned. I'm sure that Dave will actually be busily reading his way through Anne Leckie's Ancillary Justice as we speak, but you'll be pleased to know that Anne's got the sequel text out to Ancillary Justice, so great news there. That's Ancillary Sword. I'll have to get a move on with respect to that, and that's well worth accessing. Gillian Anderson, of course, better known as the legendary Dana Scully from the X-Files series, has also been busy as far as the word processing has been concerned, and has produced A Vision of Fire, interestingly summed up by Dave Golder in the current edition of SFX magazine with the words, "You can't help it, it's near impossible. At some point while reading Gillian Anderson's debut novel, you will think this is like an X-File. Why not make your own decision? Access Gillian Anderson's A Vision of Fire. We'll also plug the 30th anniversary of Ghostbusters with a special that's been produced by the SFX team. The complete 164 pages of Ghostbusting available now. We mentioned, of course, the East Midlands Sci-Fi Con. That kind of keeps you updated with a mini selection of events, books, novels and various other bits and pieces that you can find as far as the series is concerned. We heard from Paul Money, of course, astronomer, that he wasn't a big fan of the Kill the Moon episodes of Doctor Who. You can also find out what Alan Stevens from CaldorCity.com thinks of that by accessing one of our other regular shows, Midweek Drive Morning Edition. So for details on that, just access that. That's pretty much the wrap-up for this October edition of Parsec. As I say, we wish Dave Milling the very best of health. Hopefully he's on the way to recovery. We'll end with a range of sort of tunes to take us out of the series, or out of the series. I think we are coming back for another edition in November. We'll be wrapping up with Sophie Ellister-Bextor, Until the Stars Collide, a little dash of Rick Okasek and This Side of Paradise, and maybe, just maybe, we'll squeeze in that Captain Scarlet theme that we promised earlier in the production. This has been Alex Levchuk on Parsec, in the Parsec capsule, saying thank you to astronomer Paul Money, to the fantastic individual who is Jamie Anderson. Really looking forward to some of the Anderson theme goodies that are coming up in the very near future. And, of course, to our two special guests, though I don't think they were quite expecting to go into Parsec in the way that they did. That would be the full-time chaplain of one of Western Europe's largest health centres, the James Cook University Hospital, Reverend Marie Edwards. And, of course, Rob Nichols, who, when he's not a musician, is also the editor of the Middlesbrough Football Club fanzine Fly Me to the Moon. Who would have thought we'd put Middlesbrough Football Club into a Parsec podcast? Then again, who would have thought that Frank Worthington would be attending an event called Collectomania?